Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Always nice to do these long-form interviews in the IHSA offseason. And the guy I'm talking to today, I describe as one of my most favorites. Lee Hall from IHSA TV is going to chat with us today. Now, he's participating in a St. Jude run right now as we speak, so he's got some time. Lee Hall, are you faking it? Do you have that much fun when you're doing IHSA TV? You look like you genuinely really love what you're doing, man. I mean that sincerely.
Well, thanks, Jim. Thanks for the kind words. That's really nice of you to say. It's been such an honor and a privilege for me to be a part of it. You know, I go back to the days when I was a kid watching the black and white TV, and my mom was from Ridgeway, Illinois, and they won the 1973 Class A basketball championship. So I remember watching back then and watching the legends, you know, on the Tournament Central, you know, and all that stuff. And to be a part of that in my professional life has just been a real thrill. And I do have a lot of fun. I mean, that's what I've always tried to take that philosophy with the IHSA. You know, of course it's competition and it's serious, but we're trying to have fun and we're trying to, you know, pass along, you know, these are kids playing, they're living their dreams and having fun. And, you know, it's not professional, it's not college, it's for a lot of these kids, it's the last time they'll ever play an organized sport. So we just try to have fun with it and show a lot of the flavor of the kids and the coaches and the communities. I mean, it is really a lot of fun. And of course, I had a lot of fun on the sideline stuff. I have to be a little more serious when I'm doing the play-by-play. But yeah, it's all been a thrill, seriously.
Well, and I've always appreciated, you know, when you talk about interscholastic athletics, and I think, you know, I'm speaking more from my experiences covering small school sports, that it is community, you know, and I think one of the great things that you've always done, and this is some of your sideline stuff, but I think you even notice it when you're doing the play-by-play stuff, is that, yeah, you can love the kids on the floor or on the football field that are playing the game, but you can show just as much love to the kid that's playing, you know, the tuba in the back row of the pep band that's featured at the state tournament, or the student sections where the kids are having a lot of fun. Because I think sometimes we get lost in the shuffle about let kids have freaking fun when they're at these events and spotlight it too. And I think Lee Hall, sure, you've always done a great job doing that.
Well, and my mentor, you know, Jim O'Boy was the guy that was the behind-the-scenes producer of these games when I first started doing them. And he kind of encouraged that, you know, and promoted that and let me have fun with it. And, you know, let's talk to the principal. Let's talk to the athletic director. Let's talk to the guy that, you know, that doesn't miss a game, that hasn't missed a game in 30 years. You know, let's talk to whomever it might be, the scorekeeper, you know, or just go up in the up with the fans. I mean, that's been some of the most fun stuff I've done, is just go up in the stands with the kids and do whatever they're doing, whether they're hopping up and down or doing the roller coaster or whatever it might be. You know, that's the thing people remember. And I think that's something that has gotten lost maybe a little bit over the years is, you know, we try to, sometimes I think we get caught up in the TV and trying to do the games like they're professional in college, and they're not. You know, there was a guy last year, you know, it's been a few years since I did the sidelines. I think it was East St. Louis, and he was wearing like an orange fur coat. He had an orange hat on and glasses. I mean, he looked like he should have been in Sly and the Family Stone from the 70s, right? And I'm like, they kept showing him. I'm like, somebody please go interview that man. I want to know why he's doing this. You know, that's always the fun I've had or tried to have. And you know, back in the day, that was encouraged. And, you know, a lot of times it'd be a 30-point game, and Jim O'Boy would just get on my earpiece and say, go talk to somebody, which made me grow as a broadcaster, right? I mean, you're just going up, because everybody's got a story, Jim. You know that.
Yep.
Everybody's got a story, like on this St. Jude run. Everybody's got a reason why they're giving up a week of their year and raising over $3,000 to come on this run to run in the heat for St. Jude kids. Maybe they had a kid that was a patient. Maybe they were a patient. Maybe maybe they just like to run, you know, and then they just figure out what's going on. So that's just been my philosophy, and it was passed on to me. If everybody's got a story, what is it?
Well, and I think it's neat because, for me, a child of the 80s, growing up, going to high school and growing up in the 70s, that kind of the IHSA TV broadcast, I'd say Art Kimball, synonymous. I know, you know, he's going to be doing March Madness. But now, in today's generation, seriously, this is one of the ultimate compliments. I think the kids of today would say, it's that dude with the blue coat, Lee Hall. So you kind of resonate with that because you've been, how long have you been doing that? And I'm serious when I say that. I think, you know, your personality and the longevity of what you've done, it, how long you've done it now, is you get that type of recognition from, I think, today's generation. I really, truly believe that.
Well, that's very kind of you, Jim, and very high praise, because I got to know Art Kimball and Frank Bisogni hired me. Those guys that were doing the IHSA tournament back in the day, and Art would call me Leland. Hello, Leland. Call me by my full name, which nobody does. So to be grouped with those guys is a heck of an honor, because they were great broadcasters and wonderful people and treated me as an equal. So that's very nice to hear. The people know me as the guy in the blue coat. You know, either they love the blue coat, they hate the blue coat, but they know me as the blue coat. And I tried to explain that to, his name's escaping me now. He took over for Blagojevich as the governor, Pat Quinn. And I was interviewing him on the state tournament. I said, Governor, people around the state know me with the blue coat. I know you're looking for a lieutenant governor to run with you. I might get you a few votes. He lost. I'm just saying, things could have been different.
So give us the backstory. The blue coat. How did that originate for you?
It's so ridiculous. I went to a store in the mall in Peoria, and they had, you know, they were really a nice clothing store, and they knew I wasn't making any money doing TV in Peoria, right? So they're like, hey, I've got this coat over here. It's got three stains under the pocket flap. I can give it to you for $30. I said, sold. it turned out to be a good thing because, number one, it was easy for the guys on the crew to find that blue coat in the crowd, and it made me recognizable. You know, I mean, oh, it's the guy with the wild coat. So it just became a thing. People love it or hate it, and if I'm not wearing it, they want to know why I'm not wearing it.
I can't imagine why people would hate it. And if you're not wearing it, you say it's at the cleaners, man. I like to get into, and I know you can speak to this doing the job you do. I called it like the one of the neat things that I truly love about this position and makes me happy is, you know, I call it like the essence of high school sports, you know, interscholastic athletics. And I think about, for me, the example that shines light on this for me. Yeah, I know you were there when the Rock Ridge kid, Carson Frakes, threw in the three-quarter court shot, and they win the state semifinal game to go to the state championship game. Well, then, the very next year, this kid that threw in the shot, Carson Frakes, they're playing in a regional championship game here in Aledo, actually. And it was a knockdown, drag-out game with Catholic school, all of them in high school. And this Frakes kid played this unbelievable game. But they just couldn't get over the hump. All of them in one. So they get in the handshake line. So we broadcast from the top row. And they're having the handshake line. And I see the all of them coach is approaching Frakes, who played this brilliant game, okay? And he's just emotionally and physically spent because, man, he left it on the court. And basically he collapses in the arms of the all-American coach for congratulations.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, wow. Amen, brother. This is why I do this freaking job every night and why I love it so much. Can you relate to things like that in this position?
Oh, I think so, absolutely. I mean, and by the way, you just gave me goosebumps, and it's about 85 degrees out there. in Southern Illinois today. I think part of it is that I tried to play the games when I was a kid. You know, I got cut as a freshman in basketball, just like Michael Jordan. We had a little bit different outcome, right? I played high school baseball and was a very middling player. You know, my claim to fame is Joe Girardi and I were co-captains my senior year.
Oh, wow.
And between the two of us, we've got four World Series rings. but I fought the good fight. I tried hard, and so I can relate to these kids. You know, I almost always feel worse for the losing kids than feel better for the kids that win. You know, it's very close, right?
Yeah.
I can definitely commiserate with the kids that don't win, but to see them give their all, I can relate to that. You know, and one of the most memorable things, you talk about that, one of the most memorable things that comes to my mind is I can't even remember the two teams that were playing. I did play-by-play of at the time it was Class A state softball championship game. After the game, these girls all get in a big circle and they're like having a dance party. They just played for the state championship, you know, in a heartbreaker, like a 1-0 game. And they're all dancing and just having a good time. That didn't mean they didn't care about the outcome. It's just that camaraderie, you know, I think. And once you've been through that, it does transcend the game, you know, like you're saying. And, you know, guys that I played against at different levels, we have a Sunday morning league in Peoria, you know, when I was in college, I was playing in that. And it's the same kind of thing, you know, you're opponents, but you live the same life and have the same dreams and can really understand each other on a level that people that haven't competed don't get.
Yeah.
You know.
So how long have you been doing the IHSA TV now? How many years has it been?
Well, I started in, it was 94, because I remember it was the first year Manuel won the first of their four state championships in a row, Peoria Manuel. They needed somebody to fill in for Tom Stocker on the third place game, excuse me, and our station was carrying the games at the time, and I was doing Bradley basketball, and somehow my name got tossed into the mix, and, you know, apparently they liked what I did. The next year I was doing the semifinals and the finals, you know, that was back when it was two classes, so I would do a game, Dan Rohn from WGN would do a game, then I'd do a game, Dan, I mean, you know, talk about being a heady experience, you know, being on the broadcast opposite Dan Rohn. So, I think they took, seems to me like 97, 98, 99, whatever the Chicago Sports Channel was then, took it over for 3 years. And it's done that swing where it's gone to the Chicago side, and then it came back to my buddy Jim O'Boy. So I think it's like 25 years or something like that if you take those 3 years out. So
yeah, that's a great run, Lee Holt. See, I'm right when I say people, you know, look at these state tournament things, and you are kind of synonymous with the state tournament. 25 years is a freaking great run, dude.
Yeah, it's cool. I remember going over to the Quad Cities for the it wasn't the Quad Cities Open then. I can't remember what it was called at that point. But, you know, one of the guys, it was media day, and one of the guys doing the carts was like, oh, you're that guy for Peoria, Lee Hall. I'm like, what? Because I'm used to being noticed around home, right?
Yeah.
Back when I was on TV every night. But people do know who you are, and it's a great thrill just to be associated with that. The IHSA is something that, you know, I remember playing in the IHSA baseball tournament, being heartbroken in the sectional when we lost, and the thrill of winning a regional when we did. It was the first time our school had won a regional in like 40 years in baseball. So, now to be a part of it, the broadcasting end has been such a thrill, doing football and basketball. I've done some baseball and softball along the way. I even participated in the track and field broadcast 1 year when they did that.
Yeah. So, well, and I think...
Yeah, it's been great. It's been great. It's been great to be asked back year after year, too.
Yeah, and that's a testament to the job you're doing. There's no question about that. You know, it'd be unfair to say, you know, give me like a top moment broadcasting a state tournament event, because there's so many over 25 years, and I think it would be unfair to ask that, but... But is there like a backstory when you look back and say, man, this is such a great story, or this is really what it's all about when I hear something about that? Do you have like a favorite backstory of any of these state tournament broadcasts over the years? Or that may be unfair to ask, too.
It's so hard to remember some of them. It's been so long. But I don't know. Each and every one has its own special boy, I'm trying to think of something to narrow down to, but, you know, I mean, there's a little, you know, I guess there's a little, I tried to play it down the middle, but when the, you know, when the local teams win or, you know, that's fun, more fun for me. I just, I mean, for me, it's been fun. You know, Sean Livingston won back-to-back state titles with Peoria High, and then a month later to be in New York City covering the NBA draft, and then to cover his career and, you know, see him almost lose his leg, and then to come back and win three championships with the Golden State Warriors. I don't know. I guess that's kind of special to me.
Yeah.
You know, it was special to cover the Manuel Ram teams back then, and it's more special now since, you know, Wayne McLean's gone, God rest his soul. But I don't know. Some of those things are things that I look back on with a lot of pleasure and good memories.
So you speak Peoria basketball a little bit. You know, you worked, I know, as a sports anchor down in the Peoria market, now doing sales, I think. But so I remember one day in the height of the Rockridge basketball run and the Brian Heath and Ethan Happ days, they were playing Peoria Richwoods. And I think is it a Booth who coaches Peoria Richwoods? Is it a Booth brother that coaches them? I can't remember, but he played in
Derek coached Peoria Manual for a while.
Okay, well, I remember I asked this coach, and I said, "Who's the best player, high school player from Peoria you ever had a chance to see play?" And as I'm asking him that, you know, I'm thinking, well, got to be, you know, Sean Livingston. But then he said, man, you should have saw A.J. Guyton play. And then he's Frank Williams, you talk about a true, like, high school player, and even collegiately how good that dude was. So can you answer to our Peoria listeners who listen to this podcast, let's ask Lee Hall who the best ever player was in the city of Peoria, and that way you can make one family really happy and everybody else really mad.
Boy, I mean, such a great tradition, right? You know, I mean, going back years and years, Derek Holcomb and was it Greg Smith that went from Richwoods and played at the University of Illinois back when I was in grade school. I remember that. If you ask Sean Livingston the best player he ever saw to come out of Peoria, he'll say Howard Nathan, who was Mr. Basketball in 1991, who just passed away at the age of 47 last week. And I mean, he's gotten a lot of accolades for being the best player. I mean, he was a fierce competitor, and just really epitomized that kind of that slash and burn Manual Peoria basketball style of just in your face defense, 94 feet on a college floor, you know, and just defense the daylights out of you and make you give up your will to play the game or to win, you know. So that's a name that jumps to the forefront. You know, Chris Reynolds and A.J. Guyton were a couple of Peoria High kids who played for Bobby Knight. And I think anybody that went and played for Bobby Knight, you know, you've got to be considered up there in some of the top kids. We did one year, I mean, to toot the horn of the Peoria area, we did a series on local players in the Big Ten. From Morton, we had J.R. Koch at Iowa, and this is all the same season. We had Mark Vershaw at the University of Wisconsin, who went to the Final Four that year. We had the triplets, of course, from Peoria Manual, who played at Illinois, Marcus Griffin, Frankie Williams, and Sergio McLean. We had Greg, was it Robinson, that played from Richwoods, who played at Purdue. AJ was at Indiana. So, I mean, and we went and covered all those kids and did interviews with them and our coaches. So that was, you know, that was a heck of a run back when those guys were all in the Big Ten at the same time.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know you don't get into the basic, you know, the behind-the-scenes contract stuff where who gets the rights and who produces it. It's just a matter of you're the guy that broadcasts it. But, you know, I was talking to Matt Troha last week or a couple weeks ago, man, Matt Troha should be your agent. Man, that dude really loves you.
The immortal. Lee.
Yeah.
I hope so.
No, I'm kidding. So
he's
I
involved with taking Who Does TV, so I
yeah.
want to get that man happy.
Yeah. You hear that, Troha? Because I know you're listening to this thing, man. But anyway, the one thing that we were
love you, Matt.
The one thing that we that I said to him, you know, with this new agreement that they announced with this Quincy Media,
yeah.
that I hope there's a little more stability by basically where it is on the channel so people can find it. Because I asked them the question, you
right.
know, can I explain to my mother, you know, why isn't Jim, why
yeah.
isn't that on Channel 8 anymore with Art Kimball?
Right.
Well, because it's not 1976
right.
anymore, Mom. And there's not three TV channels in Hampton,
yeah,
Illinois
right.
anymore.
Right.
But anyway, I mean, are you happy to see the stability where at least you can start to you know, tell the people? I mean, it's an easier way to find it because, let's face it, when you're competing
right.
against the Blackhawks and the Bulls and whatever else on the Chicago TV sports market, it's tough, you know, and those alternate channels,
well, yeah.
the older folk can't understand the alternate
yeah.
channel, and then they get mad, why ain't
well,
that thing on TV?
Well, right, and it's, you know, it's hard for me as a viewer to, all right, where's Sports Channel Plus? I mean, not to pick, but I mean, I'm not trying to pick on them, but it was like, and it was really strange to me that the smaller school games that I was doing was on Sports Channel, and then the bigger games that Dave Bernhard was doing, you know, where's Sports Channel Plus? You know, so this is, and of course, let me also say that the stations I work for are owned by Quincy Media. So, yeah, I'm delighted, and I'm hoping that they help keep it in the family with me working the games even more, because I, you know, as much as I do as much as I can, but just from you know, this is a democracy, right? So
yeah.
we want everybody to be part of it, and to have the games on broadcast stations in every market in the state is going to be better for the viewers. You know, the people that want to watch, you know, if Anna Jonesboro gets the state, or if, you know, whoever it might be, if it's, you know, if it's Mercer County, or whether it's Lena Winslow up in the north part of the state, or, you know, Champaign Centennial, whoever it might be, or the Peoria schools, Chicago schools, whatever, you know, you want the most people to be able to watch that. And that's what this is going to do. It's going to put it back on broadcast stations, hopefully in each market. I think the St. Louis market is one hole that they're trying to work on. But, yeah, I mean, it's just better, I think, nothing against the Chicago station, because that's a thrill to be on the Chicago station, too. But just from an ease of finding it standpoint, I agree with you that this is going to be better. You know, and it's worked in the past, and it'll work again.
And I guess, you know, looking at it from your vantage point, you know, you're a guy that works in the Peoria market, and you know, people are trying to figure out, well, why don't people go to the state tournament games anymore? And a lot of people say, well, it's because of four-class basketball. Now, I contend that has a little part to do with it, but I still say that, you know, the conference college basketball tournaments have become so big
yeah.
that you're competing
yeah.
against that, and then you're the following weekend you're competing against the first round in the first round NCAA tournament
NCAA
games, which
tournament,
have
yeah.
which have become huge. And then the other thing that people don't
right.
realize now is the younger fan, and I'm talking about the kid that's, you know, a youth, third grade through junior high, eighth grade, they all play now competitive travel basketball, so they're not available to go to those games those weekends because they're playing somewhere. And then
yeah.
if you look at when we grew up, right, in the 70s and 80s, there wasn't
yeah.
really an overlap of the winter sports into the spring sports, where there was baseball
right.
and track that were going on, practice for the forthcoming spring season when the basketball state tournament is going on, and that goes on now. So if you look at all those factors, I think they all play a role in that. It's not just because of the four class, in my opinion. There's a lot of other factors in play. So what's your take
oh,
on that,
sure.
I guess?
Well, I think the four class, you know, has had, like you say, has had a role in it. The thing that I miss is having that first day where, you know, half of the teams are going to go home. So there's that drama, right? I mean, now it's kind of like, well, everybody's going to hang around all weekend. So I think that drama is missing. I think the early games meant something to the people playing at night, and the night game meant something to people playing during the day. So I think there's a little crossover there more as well. But yeah, there's so many things now to distract kids, you know, and I think somehow I would like to see maybe and I don't know how you do this, but the schools in the association do more to promote people coming to the tournament, you know, to promote kids coming to the tournament maybe. Because you look in the stands and it's a lot of guys our age and older,
yeah.
You know, so how do you perpetuate that to the next generation? And that's above my pay grade, obviously.
Do you like the move to the one weekend state tournament for the boys and the girls and back to back weekends?
I'm gonna hold my opinion on that. I don't know yet. I'm gonna have to take a wait and see on that one.
Yeah, because
I know that's a cop out because we haven't seen it in action yet.
And then the other thing too, and you have no say, you know, with the contract site being awarded here, it'll be later in this coming school year for that 2021 state tournament, because a lot of people say, well, if it comes back to Champaign, boom, there'll be 16,000 people at the state tournament, which I don't believe that's going to happen either. But you're from Peoria. Do you get much of a vibe on the people down there with the future of that state tournament? I know they're rebidding, I understand, and want to maintain the state tournament site.
Yeah, I think Peoria is every bit as committed as before. You know, things have changed a little bit with Caterpillar moving headquarters and things like that. But I have a friend who's very involved in that, and I know their commitment is still strong, and I know the Peoria committee's commitment is still strong to keep the state tournament there. I think they've done a great job with it over the years. You know, the March Madness experience is something that has, you know, helped, I don't know if I'd say attract people, but it's been an extra attraction, you know, to give folks something to do. And it's been a great thing as far as the wheelchair basketball to give them a format for that, too.
All right. So I must tell people the one thing that I really love, too, about Lee Hall, I want to change directions a little bit, and I'm glad he's given us some extra time, because a couple weeks ago we did a long form interview with the Rock Ridge softball coach, John Nelson, and he plays, he is a softball coach by day and plays in a band by night. Lee Hall, you gotta love that, bro. So Lee Hall, your love of music, right? So you play
yeah.
like in a cover band, so you I always see like your pictures are like with the guitar, as I like to say. So what about? So I say, man, that Lee Hall is so cool. He doesn't even know it, and that's why he's so cool. So what about your love of music?
My dad would say, jack of all trades, master of none. I took guitar lessons when I was a kid, and I could never get it quite figured out. And then as an adult, it somehow clicked a little bit, and actually. It all kind of, the music thing for me started on this Memphis to Peoria run. A buddy and I would do like little gag skits and things for the runners, you know, to kind of entertain them, break up the monotony. And one year, I mean, we dressed up as the Blues Brothers, and I did Mick Jagger one year, and then we ran into an Elvis impersonator in Decatur on our way back one year. I said, that's what we got to do. We got to dress up as Elvis and entertain next year. So, we did that, and then one of the people on the run said, you know, they'll pay you to do that at nursing homes. So I had the bright idea that we could go get paid to do this. So I actually somehow talked to Peoria Riverman, our local hockey team, into hiring us, open for any money. And we were booed unmercifully by 5,000 drunk hockey fans. But somehow that didn't deter me. I don't know why it should have. But so I started doing Elvis gigs locally, and just, you know, I don't look like Elvis, but I put on a wig and have fun. And people like the fact that I have fun. And, you know, I got to be better and better as a singer. And then I started saying, well, if I could play guitar better, I'd be in a band. Well, I found guys that could play better than me, and I was good enough to kind of stand up and start playing with them. And now I play some solo gigs. My band, by the way, is named Lee Hall, just like Hee-Haw from the 70s. It's pronounced
So there's a bunch of people listening. They're gonna go say, man, I want to go see that. Now, your description,
yeah.
though, dude, this is why, man, I love you so much. Because you said there's nothing like being booed by 5,000 drunk minor league hockey fans. And
yeah,
then I tell you the other one thing that I like, that one of my favorite things you've ever done, and I don't know if I've told you this or not, but on your Facebook feed one day, they posted, I don't know who posted the video of you, and you were like at a, you were like on a cruise, you were part of a cruise, like your TV station was involved in promoting a cruise, and you were coming back from somewhere.
Yeah, we went.
But anyway, let me, so you're doing like karaoke, and I can't remember the Rolling Stone song, but the median age is like 80 or 85, it looked like, and there's Lee Hall going all Rolling Stone on everyone. I thought it was so hilarious.
Oh, and the guys that worked at the resort knew me by name the next day. You know, they were like calling me, hey, Lee, we need you to come up on stage and do this at the All-Mexican show, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. So it's, you know, I don't get enough attention being on TV, so I got to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's just fun. You know, I've always wanted to play guitar and sing, and my mom and dad had a great love of country music. They made me listen to country music when I was a kid. Of course, I didn't want to listen to it. And then the first gig in radio and TV was on the country music station in Peoria. So they loved that. And now here come the runners, so it's going to get a little loud here, but yeah, music's something that's just, I say it's my calling, you know, broadcasting and the other stuff has kind of been one too, but yeah, I love the music, just love every part of it, you know. I do a little country, I do some 70s rock, the band has learned Brick House and play that funky music White Boy, so we're changing it up a little bit.
and again, no longer getting booed by 5,000 drunk minor league hockey fans. So,
well, and then Eddie Money told us we looked like Beatlemania.
So then the other thing that's part of your equation, you're participating in the St. Jude run I forget how many miles it is, but you're heading down south from the Peoria area. Why does that hit so close to home to you, and why is that so important? Because did you say 33 years you've been doing that now?
33 years. I got assigned to cover this event, and it was in its fifth year. Very small event, maybe 50 people total on the whole run, and they were raising maybe $50,000 or $60,000 a year. I got sent to cover it. It was so hot, my camera quit working, so I was 23 years old and weighed 180 pounds, so I started running with them because I didn't have anything else to do. So I got hooked on the event, right? It's kind of like a big slumber party. As you can hear, there's a lot of cheering, and
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of energy, and it's physical and fun and challenging. And then I learned about why they were doing it. You know, I met a couple of patients. The first patient I met, unfortunately, died, and then I met a little girl at the affiliate a couple of months later, and we were sitting at the table, and she was coloring a paper. All the kids at the little table, you know, I'm sitting there at this little table with my, in this little chair with my knees up to my ears, and this little girl, no hair, sitting there coloring. I said, well, I guess nobody wants to play with me anymore because everybody got up to go to their appointment. She did not miss a beat. She didn't look up. She kept coloring. She did not look up and said, I know why nobody wants to play with you. And I'm like looking around shocked. I'm like, oh, really? Why is that? Because nobody likes you. So I, of course, was immediately in love. And her name's Julia. And she's in her 40s now. She was a Make-A-Wish kid when she was young. They thought she was going to die. And then she worked for Make-A-Wish in San Francisco. So it's become one of the biggest things, if not the biggest thing in my life. I met my former wife through a St. Jude runner. We ended up having 4 children, and now we've got 6 grandchildren. So I have gotten so much from this experience. We run 465 miles from Memphis to Peoria over the course of 4 days. This event has now there are satellite runs from all around the state that are, some are kicking off today, and some, most will start tomorrow. These events have raised over $90 million for St. Jude over the years. St. Jude is the greatest place on earth. Parents don't have to worry about paying for anything. All they've got to worry about is their child. So, I mean, it's, It's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful cause. I'd do anything in the world for this cause. So,
man,
it was something that was forced on me as a young man that has become the most important thing in my life. So it's a beautiful story that was, you know, it was something that was given to me by somebody that knew what they were doing. You know, bigger, I like to say God, that, you know, put me in the right place at the right time and changed my life for sure. You
man.
Know, and St. Jude is changing lives. They do the research, you know, and when the hospital, I'm rambling, I know, but when the hospital opened in 1972, the survival rate for kids with ALL, acute lymphocytic leukemia, was about 4 or 5%. It's now 94%. So, you know, it's a great place. They treat families and kids like family. You know, Jim Maloof was the mayor of Peoria, who was kind of like Ethel Merman. He sang like Ethel Merman, but had a heart of gold. He always told me he was my second father, but he told me the first day I showed up to cover the run, it's a family baby, you're going to love it, and he couldn't be more right. So that's 34 years ago. I've missed one run since 86. So,
oh, man,
yeah, I could go. As Captain America said in the Avengers, I could do this all day.
Yeah.
I love St. Jude with all my heart, and I appreciate you so much asking about it because we want people to know about it. If you're, you know, if you know a child that has cancer, they should be at St. Jude.
Man, you're such a cool dude,
yeah.
Lee. You are such a friggin' cool dude. I mean, it's so awesome to listen to you talk about that. You know, to TV. So back to TV though, quickly. You mentioned you have four kids, right? So do they kind
of
keep you in check and say, I know you're on TV, Dad, for 25 years doing this IHSA state tournament thing, but you ain't nothing, man. So just sit down,
yeah.
Calm down. You get a little pushback from them.
They, you know, they're older now. They're 19 and 20 and 24 and 30, and they, you know, so they've seen it all, you know. When they were kids, they were like, Dad, did you know that person that came up and talked to you? I'm like, no, but they know me from TV, so you got to be friendly to them, right? And so I went from being, you know, hey, Lee Ho, the TV guy, to being Connor's dad. You know, oh, you're Connor's dad or you're Chloe's dad, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's... like everything else, same thing. I saw an interview with Paul McCartney. We came up to Moline and saw him last month. He gets the same thing, you know, from his kids. So on a much grander scale, obviously. But being a dad and grandpa is the best thing I've ever done in my life. No doubt about it.
Yeah, and so as we wind down here, we're talking a lot to Lee Hall, and it's been great. So primarily our focus is on high school sports. So I ask you. Why are interscholastic athletics so great? Can you put a paragraph together on that or give your opinion on why this stuff is still so great and why it needs to be promoted and why people involved in the community need to get behind kids and be a part of this thing? So, again, long story short, why are interscholastic
yeah.
athletics great and why do they need to be sustained?
Because it's even with all the issues of AAU, whatever you mentioned travel, you know, I mean, those things that have grown into huge things. High school sports is competition at its most pure. If you talk to, and I've talked to guys, you know, I've been lucky enough to talk to pro athletes, and they will all tell you, you know, back my high school days, that was the most fun I ever had. You know, that's what means the most to me is back then because you're playing with people you grew up with, you know, and recruiting aside in some places, you know, these are guys that you grew up, you know, especially like at the small school level. But, you know, and the same thing happened for me. I mean, I was playing baseball with guys that I grew up with, competed against in grade school basketball, but then we were teammates. Right. And, you know, once you get to the college level, it's more of a job. And once you get to the professional level, obviously it is. And there's just so many more pressures and concerns. But high school athletics is competition in its most pure form. You know, it's a competition. And even with all the, maybe the, you know, the few blemishes that there are, it's still the best out there, no doubt.
All right. So since you've been doing the thing, I think I was thinking about this when you said, well, some people either hate the blue coat, or they love the blue coat. I was thinking, do you ever get like, I'm just curious, like, what's the nastiest, like, and what I'm speaking about here is in terms of, you know, somebody, for example, like the Cobden Apple Knockers are playing the Lena Winslow Panthers, and Lee, somebody's like, I know that Lee Hall, he's rooting for the Cobden Apple Knockers. I can tell it. Have you ever got any like criticism or complaint like that? I mean, give me a good one here, man. Come on, you got to give me a good one here.
Dude, I did Bradley basketball. So I grew up in Peoria and graduated from Illinois State University, and I did Bradley ISU games, which is like the Cubs, Cardinals, Bears, Packers of Central Illinois basketball, college basketball. And I had people on both sides that hated me, you know, because I tried to play it down the middle, and they don't want that, obviously. Really, one time, it was kind of a, I won't say the school, I won't mention either school because I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
It was a couple of local schools in Central Illinois, and I said, one team was facing a roadblock on the road to state, you know, meaning that there was somebody in their way. Well, I wish I would have shown video of what the Blues Brothers did to roadblocks. Because the one team took it to mean that I thought they couldn't beat this other team. And I heard about it for 2 or 3 years.
Jeez.
I mean, these people were so, such awesome rabid fans that they were like in public giving me crap about it, you know, like I didn't mean anything. It was just like a little thing I wrote that I was, oh, roadblock, road to state, you know. I thought it was kind of clever.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it, you know. So that was the one that stuck with me for a while that I could not get past.
Okay.
Covering, of course, this team won and went on to state, and people were just like dogging me for months and even years. I'm like, come on, I didn't mean it like that. But that's, you never know. I mean, I remember watching the Cardinals and the Brewers in the 82 World Series, and I thought the NBC guys were so biased for the Brewers because I'm a Cardinals fan.
Yeah.
And they were just talking about the, you know, you got to talk about whoever's, you know, you try to talk about both teams, but if one team's blowing out the other one, you got to talk about the team that's having success.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm using, of course, our listening audience, I'm using Cobden and Lena Winslow as an example. It didn't happen, but I know how those rabid fans can be. So as we wind it down here, what do you think of, you know, when I do a lot of these long form interviews with coaches, I ask them, what's the future hold for high school sports? Now, this is you speaking as Lee Hall. This is not you speaking as IHA TV guy. What do you worried a little bit about the future, the direction of high school sports, where you mentioned travel a little bit, AAU. You know,
yeah.
I know that the concussion protocol with high school football, the numbers are a concern. What do you think the future is for high school sports?
I just saw one of our local coaches post a study that said that high school football has really no – the kids aren't more prone to have brain issues. So, I mean, that's something that I think is still being studied and it should be, you know, because we want to protect our kids, obviously. You know, some folks are going to 7-on-7 football because of that and because of numbers, because kids aren't playing football like they used to. It's tough. There's a lot of challenges out there with those kind of things, you know, and I think, you know, kids have changed obviously a lot over the years. So there's a lot going on. I think parents need to, I know that sounds preachy. I would like to see parents reevaluate how they look at sports. You know, everybody, me included, I wanted my kid to get a college scholarship as well. I don't think I was quite as rabid about it as others, but, you know, the chances of those things happening are very slim. I would like to see people maybe take a more balanced approach. I had that problem in my family. One of my kids, you know, my former wife wanted them to play travel soccer, and he wasn't playing. You know, I was like, let him play house soccer. Let him play and learn the game and have fun rather than go, you know, drive 2 hours to these games and sit and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then hate it. You know, I mean, I think I would love to see us just maybe take a step back and let kids learn how to play and learn to compete. I know that sounds old-fashioned, but it just seems to me like that would help a lot, you know, just to kind of, you know, put the fun back in sports and not make it such a job for kids where they have to commit. Hang on just a second, Jimmy. Be right back with you.
Yep, okay.
Let's go! We got about 15 people out running in the heat right there, so you got to give them a little encouragement.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's perfect. That's, that's live radio.
Yeah, well, and that's what I love about this event. I mean, the enthusiasm is off the charts, you know. I mean, and it's a running part of it's running, but we always say it's a fundraising event, you know.
Yeah.
If you run, great. And you can run as much or as little as you want. But anyway, yeah, I just like to see people, you know, back in the day, we were always playing something, playing whiffle ball, playing corkball on the playground at St. Bernard School in Peoria, playing kickball, doing something. And there's, you know, there was just a purity to all that I think, you know, I think a lot of that's lost. I'd like to see, I don't know if there's a way to put things back in the bag and once it's out, but I guess deep in my heart, I'd like to see that where it wasn't such a job for kids to have to commit so much of their lives to play a sport, you know, and to still have fun at it, compete hard and learn the sport, but not have it be such a full-time thing, you know. That's why I appreciate the smaller schools. My kids went to Morton, and they encourage that. You know, we want our kids to play multiple sports. You look at the guys and women that have had success on the professional and collegiate level, and they played more than one sport. They weren't committing their whole life to one sport year-round, and you kind of alluded to that earlier in this interview. And I guess that's what I'm hoping we see someday.
All right. Yeah, it's all about perspective. I think from a parent standpoint of what the proper perspective is, they need to kind of maybe reevaluate that sometimes, but to each his own, I always say too. You know, the last thing I guess I get at here is, you know, kind of a perfect way to end this. How big of a deal and how much of a privilege is it for Lee Hall to be a key voice of IHSA sports, state final sports across the great state of Illinois? Lee Hall, your answer.
Well, it's something that I love deeply and would hate to ever have to quit doing. You know, like I said, I grew up watching some of the greats that people, you know, our age still remember. To be a part of that is, you know, now I've stepped back. I'm not on the news every night like I used to be in Peoria. And this is the one thing in sports I want to keep doing. You know, I do play-by-play for Morton football on the local cable access, but being a part of that IHSA network, basketball and football-wise, it's a legacy that I want to be a part of, to continue to be a part of. I think I've got a few good years left, hopefully. You know, I think that's something that, you know, my buddy Dave Earnhardt has done these games for years. I would like to see that continue because we have that, not that we don't want to let other people in on the act, but, I mean, we have that perspective, that knowledge. You know, you can refer back to things and you know the history and where it stands. I just think there's something to be said for that. You know, you mentioned people that have watched this for years, and I always say you can't make old friends. You know, and that's what I like to think of myself as. I like to think of, you know, people are watching me. They're comfortable with me. They know that I take the game seriously, but I also have a lot of fun with it too. So I've done a lot of play-by-play. I think that sideline thing is something I was kind of, I don't want to say born to do, but maybe nurtured to do over the years. I'd like to get back to doing a little bit more of that rather than have it be, you know, this team is doing X, Y, and Z on the playing field. I mean, we do that. We've done that in the past. I saw somebody posted a post-game interview that I did with Sean Livingston and Chuck Fisher after they won their first state title, and I asked all the right questions. I was like, wow, I knew what to ask about the game and everything, but to have that flavor of the games come back a little bit with the, you know, the fans and the people around the communities, I think people get a kick out of that, and that's what makes IHSA unique. To me, in my mind, you know, I might be wrong, but those are the things that I loved about it. And I just hope to I just hope to be a part of it for as long as they'll have me, man. I love it a lot. I love doing the research. I love learning about the kids and the coaches and the communities and relaying those stories to people and telling people their stories. Because there's more, obviously the games are stories, seasons are stories, the championships are stories, but, you know, why is this kid, what makes this kid, you know, what makes this coach? I think those are the stories I love to tell.
Well, and you're great at it, and that's what I truly believe what you just explained they need to do more of. I think the interaction that you've always been good at with getting the flavor of the state tournament, I'm talking about beyond the direct game. I'm talking about the story of the community, story of the team, story of the students, whatever is – those are the stories that need to be told and they need to be highlighted, the interaction. And I think you're great at doing that, and that's why you're, in my opinion, you're perfect for the job, because that's, to me, that we need more of that, man. We need more of that type of promotion.
Jim O'Boy is the guy that is responsible for all that, because he gave me a microphone and said, go do this, you know, let me grow and make mistakes and learn how to walk up to somebody I've never met before and interview them, you know? And that's a gift that I can never thank him enough for. I love him like a father. We, you know, like families, I mean, we would holler at each other, you know? But we both had that love of the tournament in our hearts and wanted to bring those stories across. And that, you know, I miss doing that. I miss going up and talking to the coach and the players after the game, you know? I love that. I mean, so the Blue Coat story, I'll leave you with a Blue Coat story, because we just ran through Cairo, Illinois yesterday, right? And I can't remember the coach's name for the life of me, but they were in the state tournament, Class A state tournament. We are on the floor after the game. I've got the blue coat on and black pants. He's got on black coat and the blue, and I've got the blue coat on. He's got the blue pants on, right? The same color. I said, Coach, we've got the suit. You put us together, we've got the suit. And he looks me right in the eye on live TV and says, man, you are a soul brother, and that's why we love you, Cairo. I will never forget that as long as I live. Yeah, that was awesome.
But then you said, surely you followed that up and said, but one time I got booed by 5,000 minor league drunk hockey fans, right?
I didn't bring that up at the time. My other favorite sideline story was, real quick, there's a guy from Peoria. He was known as the super fan. He would go to games. He used to go to Peoria High games or Richwood's games and just go, whoa, as loud as he could, right? So when Peoria High went to state, he did it there. I was like, so what's the deal, man? You used to do it for Richwood's, now you do it for Peoria High. Are you a traitor or what's the deal? He's like, I like to use my voice as a lightsaber to protect both sides of Peoria. And that was a moment that will live on in IHSA basketball history.
And that was awesome. All right, Lee Hall, awesome. And I know you're doing great work with the St. Jude run. We'll let you get back to that. By the way, he gave us about an hour of his time. He's doing that run, so it's near and dear to his heart. But you see Lee Hall, he's a very approachable guy. You see him if you're at a state event, go up to him and say hi or whatever. Good dude, man, and really good dude. So we appreciate it, Lee Hall. I wanted to get you on long form. I wanted to get you up to Aledo, actually, in studio someday. We can do that down the road. And maybe a small market, poor radio guy like me could even treat you to breakfast, maybe.
That'd be awesome.
One morning. So, hey, keep up the good work with IHSA TV. The state of Illinois needs more Lee Halls promoting high school sports across the great state. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.
God bless you, sir. Thanks, Jimmy.
You're listening to WRMJ.